You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Would you join me for a word of prayer? Gracious Lord, how grateful we are to receive what you alone can give. The wisdom of heaven, words for our journey, which the power of the Spirit uses to kindle in us a trust in you that leads us home. Strengthen us now and bless us as we reflect on this word together and grow our understanding of it and our embrace of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this was the week of Apocalypse Now for me. It was just a strange thing. I came into Tuesday Bible study, and the first question was about the end times, and did I think we were in them? And so we had a nice long conversation about that, and then my brain only works on one thing at a time. I'm not really good at multitasking, at least especially in terms of preparation for classes and things like this. So I did that class, and then I thought, I'm going to start looking forward to tomorrow night's class, and I realized I'd said I was going to teach about Jesus and the end times on Wednesday night, and the coming of Christ in the final judgment. And okay, so I finished teaching that, and I said, I better look at the Sunday readings for preaching. And I went, oh, it's an apocalyptic parable. This is great. Apparently, I'm supposed to be in the end times this week. Now, the word apocalypse, as I explained to the Wednesday night group, we tend to think of apocalypse as meaning doom. But that's because we've come to associate it with all the imagery of judgment in the last book of the Bible. What the word apocalypse actually means is unveiling. It's like when you go to a fancy French restaurant. I've never been able to go to one of these that I could afford, but you know, they bring the plate of food to your table and it's covered with a dish and they go, voila! You get to see what has been prepared for you that was behind the screen, behind the dish. And that's what Jesus is doing with these kind of parables. He's showing us what's going on behind things. He's preparing us for what is to come, but what we cannot see right now. And this parable is one that follows close on the heels of last week's parable, right? The parable of the good soil and the bad soil. And in that, we're supposed to ask ourselves, what kind of soil am I? As I receive God's word, how ready am I to receive what he's offering? And the weeds that choked the word of God in the third part of that parable now take center stage in this parable. We're told in another one of the Gospels that the weeds here are tares, and that just could be a translation issue here. A tare is a really interesting weed because it looks just like wheat, but it's poisonous. You grind this into your flour, you'll be sick and maybe die. So the enemy knew exactly what he was doing in the parable. The way that the weeds and the wheat start to look different is only at the final harvest time. They look identical all through the green growing season. If you were to go out to a field right now, I look at the way the corn's growing up and I'm looking forward to corn on the cob. But if you go out to one of those fields right now, if it had both wheat and tares in the same field, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart. It's only when they come to fruition, when they reach their apex and are ready to be harvested, that you can tell them apart one from another and separate them. Now this is a thing for us to reflect on, because whereas the last parable is about who receives the word initially, this is a parable about the church. A parable about those of us who respond and think we're growing in the word. And it's a cautionary tale. It's meant to bring us to reflection. I was reading a book fairly recently, and this person is an adult convert to Christianity at a really strange time. Most people convert to Christianity, their teens, their early 20s. This guy converted in his late 50s. And he said, you know, there's a certain visceral satisfaction thinking about the end times, thinking of all my enemies roasting in hell while I'm over here. I admired his honesty. But that's not what we're supposed to do. Jesus told us to pray for our persecutors, to love our enemies. We're not supposed to look forward with glee to what they're doing, to their doom, while we plan a party forever. That's tough to do, folks. It's really, really tough to do. I was just in a situation yesterday where it was really hit me, a particular thing I was exposed to. I thought, this is victimizing children. And I could feel their anger and the rage growing inside of me. And I kept saying to myself, dummy, you know the Bible verses. We wrestle not with flesh. It's powers and principalities. They're victims as much as the people they're victimizing. What are you doing? And still I could feel the anger growing inside of me. And then I thought to myself about what I was preaching today, because I needed to check out mentally for the moment. I got to think about the sermon for tomorrow. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. I'm angry at them. They don't believe in Jesus. And they're just following through on that. They're being good pagans, doing what they want to do. Am I less excusable? Because I know Jesus, and I know what he's told me to do, and I'm failing to do it. Which of us is more blameworthy? I mean, shouldn't I be a better Christian than they are a pagan? The judgment here is on me, and then the anger I had for them, I directed at myself, which wasn't great either. Because then you need to ask for forgiveness, not just be angry that you failed. And what came to me as I was praying about this is patience. We're told by St. Peter, when he's asked if God's being slow wrapping things up, and that's how you feel sometimes, those moments like, God, this is it. Are you going to make it? How much worse does it have to get? Fire, brimstone, let's get rolling. But God, we're told, is being patient, not wanting anyone to perish. And maybe that's someone he doesn't want to have perish is me. Patience. We're told by St. Paul today that if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. I was waiting with impatience, and that was my problem. I know what happens when you try to speed up God's plans. If you have any questions, turn to Genesis and see Sarah's plan for having a child, apart from God's will. God is being patient with all of us, that we might come to full fruit, that we might grow till we're ready to be harvested. So this is a part of a painting that hangs on my wall in my office. If you go to my office, you'll see this. The painting's by a modern artist named Robert Wagner. I think it's 1987 he painted it. And it was on the cover of a magazine. And you ever just have a piece of art just grab you and hold your attention and you keep coming back to it? That's the way this magazine was. And my wife, God bless her, tracked it down and had a print of it made and matted so I could hang it in my office. The name of this painting is The Harvest is the End of the World and the Angels are Reapers. And what struck me when I first looked at this painting was how the fields are white unto the harvest. Everything is prepared. Everything is perfect and ready to be judged. Where do the wheat go? Where do the tares go? And how starkly drawn the lines are, the sharp imagery, dark and light. There's no lack of clarity. But as I have sat with this painting for many years, what's really come to grow in my mind is how long the angels' shadows are. It's late in the day, They cast long shadows because God has been patient, allowing each of us to grow into what we are fully to become, allowing us to go from tear to wheat, or God forbid, from wheat to tear. And you see it most clearly, I don't know if you can see far in the background of these, far back there, the angels are so small, all you can see are their shadows cast out over the wheat. God has been patient with his enemies, even when his enemies are his friends. See, we need to have Jesus not just as Savior in the 11th hour, but as Lord of our lives now, so that we don't become the very things we hate, so that anger and hate don't come to dominate our lives, but instead we learn to become more like Christ in showing love, in being patient, in embracing those who reject us, until finally all is ready and we can, with the saints in the book of Revelation, cry out, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus." Will you join me for a word of prayer? God, thank you for bringing us again to your house of prayer, for giving us again a word that may challenge us in our comfort or comfort us in our challenges. Strengthen us to grow into it, Lord. Lord, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but your Spirit indeed intercedes for us. Help us to lean into the power of your Spirit. Lean into your strength as we seek to be conformed to your holiness and love. We ask these things in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best art in the day and the night. King or sleeping, thy presence, my life.